God's plan will prevail. And His plan is that we're moving towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. And no matter what, those events are going to happen, and those events are going to take place. And we're living in exciting times in so many ways. And there's so much opportunity today to win people to Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful time in many ways to be alive, and that we can see all these things unfold right before our eyes, things that Daniel wrote about and the other prophets wrote about, things that are taking place in the world. It's just really great to be a part of all that and to see it happen. And so, and I want to say something tonight. We've got a few minutes. I'm not going to go very long in the message. We're going to be out of here pretty soon. And I wanted to say something about the police, the attacks on the police. That's a really terrible thing that's happening. And it's actually an attack on America. Communism is behind a lot of that, and the Black Lives Matter, when you examine what they believe, it's just Marxism is all it is. It's Marxism. And the plan is to destroy the police and then turn it over to their buddies, the Islamic people, to finish us off. And I don't think it's going to turn out that way, but that's the way they want it to turn out. And every opportunity I have to tell a policeman that I appreciate them, I always take that opportunity. I was down in Wendy's the other day, and there were two policemen sitting there, and I said, "Men, I just want to tell you that I appreciate what you're doing." And without these men, we would have anarchy. They're the only thing between us and anarchy. And so, which is the most terrible of all situations? In anarchy, everybody does what they want to do. And since men are sinners, you can imagine what direction they go. It's the most terrible of all situations. A bad government is better than no government. And there's not many of us that risk our lives every day that we go to work. These people do. And so we're living in terrible times in some ways, and sometimes we're living in great times. But I support the police, and I hope that this ends quickly. I think there ought to be an intelligence test for voting, by the way. You think about it. There's a law against people who have mental problems buying guns. We don't let them buy guns. But we let people with mental problems vote. They don't have enough intelligence to vote. They vote because of a man's color. They vote because of a person's gender. They vote for a person because of what they can get from them. There ought to be some kind of test devised. And everybody who registers to vote has to pass that test. It should be some simple intelligence test, because we're in the mess that we're in because of people who absolutely do not know what they're doing. So, I spoke on heaven the other night. Well, I'm going to speak on hell tonight. So, Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The vast majority of churches are no longer preaching on hell because it upsets too many people. And so most pastors just stop talking about it. And they're even taught in these seminars on the West Coast, as I've told you before about the seminars on the West Coast, and how that they're taught by these mega pastors not to mention certain words, and hell is one of them because it upsets people. And as a result, many people who mistakenly think they're saved because they are, quote, good people, will wind up in a place that God never intended them to go. I hope that's not you or someone close to you. If you're saved, be sure to thank God and encourage others to trust Christ as Savior. The first thing we want to see about hell is that you don't have to go there. Isn't that wonderful? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, in Matthew chapter 25. One of the many reasons that God refers to atheists as fools, such as in Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool said in his heart, there is no God, is only a fool would choose to burn in hell. And we do have our choice. He would choose to burn in hell when he didn't really have to. What are you doing down there? Did you not read that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels? What are you doing down there? Are you the devil? No. Are you one of his angels? No. Well, I don't want you to go to hell. God does not want you to go to hell. Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to go to hell. But the devil does want us to go to hell. He does. But he does not have the power to send us to hell. So why did you choose to go? And that will haunt a person for all of eternity. It was a choice they made. Not only that, but in hell, you're going to be a misfit. What did Jacob Roberts and Elliot Roger and Asa Kuhn have in common besides being active shooters and an atheist? They all three took the coward's way out. Whenever they shot those people committing their murder, they committed suicide. Now, I believe personally that not all of these guys are wackos that are doing the shooting. I personally believe that the MK Ultra plan of the government is producing some of these shooters. Remember the guy that was, I forgot his name now, been several years, the Oklahoma bombing, McVeigh. Remember him? He was in the Army. He said he had a chip in his buttocks. He said he had a chip. Not all of them are wackos. Some are planted. And who's going to profit? By the way, I don't want to get too far into this because this is a whole different deal. But who profits by all this? Those who want to take away the guns. Every time there's a shooting, it upsets people. And the government says, well, they're moving a little bit in our direction, maybe a little bit in our direction. Each time, each step. And finally, the public's going to say, enough of this. We will just take up all the guns. Be done with all these shootings. I don't think that's going to happen before the tribulation period, but that's the direction they want it to go. So here's people who are middle class young men with all the society's privileges. And how are they going to fit in with some of the world's most hardened criminals and murderers and gang members and all that? How are they going to fit in with that crowd down in hell? You think that's going to be a walk in the park? Now, really, an atheist, you have to look at it from their viewpoint. And from their viewpoint, death means nothingness. You just go out into nothingness. And to them, looking at it from their viewpoint and how they're looking at things, from their viewpoint, nothingness is a whole lot better than spending your rest of your life in jail. Just going out into nothingness from their viewpoint. Little do they know. So, you're not going to get along with the devil down there. You're not going to get along with those angels down there, the demons. You're not going to have anything in common with the people down there. They were damned since the book of Genesis with no plan of redemption. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, you are a fool. There was a chance for you to be saved. There was a plan for your salvation. We have no plan for our salvation. But you have a plan for being saved. You can be saved. And you chose to refuse it. What will they think of you? Jesus Christ paid for your sin on Calvary and you refused it. You're going to be an eternal misfit. Not only that, but hell is located in the heart of the earth. The Bible tells us. Matthew 12 and verse 40 says, for as Jonas was there 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So where is hell? It's in the heart of the earth. You're standing right on top of it. And as a lost sinner, you know what's going to drop your soul into hell? The popular belief is that when we die, demons come and escort us into hell. There's not one scripture that indicates that or insinuates that. But your soul will drop into hell after you die, if you're lost, and the thing that's going to carry you there is gravity. Your soul has a weight. In 1907, there was a doctor, a medical doctor by the name of Dr. McDougall. McDougall had a theory that the soul had a weight to it. And he made an experiment, and you can read all about this online. And he made an experiment of taking a man who was about to die. He was very near death, and he placed him on a bed, and he placed the man, bed, and all on this big scale. And so the man died. He weighed the man just before he died, and the man died. And after he died, he immediately took his weight again, and he was 3/4 of 1 pound lighter. That's about 5 nickels heavy. Now, those who are unbelievers certainly will have argument with that, and they will say, well, this wasn't scientific, and it certainly was not a scientific experiment. But I don't really need an experiment to come up with this, because you see, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So Bible interpretation involves looking at words that are close by, 2 words away. Weight and sin go together. They're only divided by 2 words. Weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us. So our sins have weight to it. My burdens are lifted at Calvary, songwriter wrote. Some of you can attest to the fact that when you got saved, there was a feeling. I don't emphasize this because salvation doesn't go by our feelings. It's by the Word of God, which is unchangeable, although our feelings might change every day. And in fact, our feelings might change several times in one day. But there's a certain amount of emotion and feeling sometimes in salvation. And when a person gets saved, sometimes they can feel the burden lifted from them. Sin has weight to it. And the weight of sin is manifested upon our soul. Not only that, but God reserves the greater damnation for false teachers and preachers. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Jesus doesn't speak like this to anybody else in the Bible. He rips up these preachers and false teachers up one side and down the other. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So they're not going to heaven themselves, and they're stopping other people from going to heaven. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Matthew 23, verses 13, verse 14. So the greater damnation does not go to murderers and homosexuals, thieves, no. God specifically reserves the greater damnation for the unsaved, false teachers and preachers, which there are an abundance today. I sat down the other day, I had a little time, and I sat down and I said, I'm going to hear what he's speaking about. This was Joel Osteen. I was going to hear what Joel had to say. And so I wasted a half an hour of my time listening to him. And when he got through, I could not tell you one thing that he said. But he did smile a lot. And he did blink a lot. And he had 50,000 people there. They came there to just to be told how wonderful they are, and something's good is going to happen to them today, as another false prophet said. They're abounding today. The greater damnation doesn't go to murderers and people like that. The greater damnation goes to preachers and false teachers. I don't know what the greater damnation is, because the Lord doesn't tell us what it is. But whatever it is, it's worse than hell. It's worse than the hellfires of hell. Whatever it is, it's worse than that, because it's the greater damnation. So this is precisely why having the right doctrine is critically important. Baptismal regeneration, sacraments, keeping commandments for salvation, all those things are false doctrines, and when it comes to false doctrine, God has zero tolerance. If you have questions about a doctrine, go to your pastor and work that out. Work that out. Get that straight. Get straight doctrinally. God has ordained the gospel to be preached by good old-fashioned Bible preaching. Now, there's other ways to win souls. And it's wonderful that people get saved in other ways. But all other methods are in support of Bible preaching. That's God's ordained method of spreading the gospel. I'm going to draw a picture here in a moment. That picture does not replace preaching. The picture supports preaching. It's very much like music. Music does not replace the preaching of the Word of God. But music is very important, and it supports the preaching of the Word of God. Half of our services is divided to mostly preaching. Singing, rather. And the other half to preaching. So the singing, the chalk art, and all these other things that we do, these things are designed to support the preaching of the Word of God. Make preaching central. When you go into a church, any church, and they have the pulpit over to the side, you know that preaching is not central in that church. Sometimes we have a Sunday off, and we go to other churches. We've gotten into some real... Hey, I could write a book just on these other churches we get into. You never know what you're going to... Hey, you never know what you're going to get into. And we went into one of these churches over in Virginia, and it was... they had, first of all, the first clue was they had taken the name Baptist off the church. That's a good clue right there of what you're going to get when you go inside. Men and women and boys and girls have died and been burned to death, slaughtered, frozen to death, chained and drowned in the rivers of Europe for that name Baptist. We believe things nobody else believes about the Bible. That's why I'm a Baptist. We believe things nobody else believes. They say, oh yeah, well, we're Baptistic. Well, if you're Baptistic, well, call yourself a Baptist. Amen? But they want to be popular, and they want to grab up all these people floating around that have no... denomination or can fit into any denomination, and they think that they're going to fill up their church with these people. not about 40 days of purpose. It's not about all these programs that comes out. It's about Bible preaching to make that central. We walked inside that church, and here was the pulpit sitting over to the side. The guy had a pretty good message, really. The pastor had a pretty good message there, but he used the wrong Bible. So you get into all kinds of situations. I'm going to draw right now for you. Let's have all the lights out. Thank you. lights on, please. The rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments, the Bible says. This man walking through this valley here is symbolic of all lost people on the road to hell. The only thing that saves them is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And that's your job and my job, to get the good news out to those who are lost, so they'll not wind up in a place like the rich man. Let's all stand, please. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who's never trusted Christ as Savior. You don't really know where you're going to go when you die. Would you just raise your hand and say, include me in your prayer, preacher. Include me. Anybody like that tonight? Father, we're grateful for your goodness and your mercy to us. And we pray that you would help us to reach others all around us who are lost. Men and women, boys and girls. Help us to reach them with the good news. The good news, they don't have to go to hell. They can go to heaven and be there for all eternity. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.